When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Tom, and I'm a Gen X grown-up, and I support Gen X grown-up on Patreon. And you should, too. Go to patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X grown-up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up Podcast listener, to this backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast. I'm John. Joining me, as always, is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And, of course, Mo is here.
Hey, everybody.
You know, the right soundtrack has the power to make a good movie great or make a great movie awesome. In this backtrack, we're running down our top 10 favorite motion picture soundtracks from films of the 1980s, our most beloved of all decades, and some of the best films, frankly, out of that generation.
Yeah.
Before we get into that top 10 list, though, it is time real quickly for some fourth listener email. Our fourth listener this time around is Mike C., who wrote us actually several weeks back. He just finally made it in the hopper. And he said, "Hey there, guys. Fourth listener here. I love the show."
Like the beginning.
All right. That's all you had to say. You're on the show.
Nice.
You
got your own list.
That's it. Yep.
He goes on to say, "I was born in 68. We Gen Xers had the last of the great childhoods in history." Amen. Yeah. Again, you're talking to the right people.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, "I drive a road grader for the county. The pay sucks, but the benefits are good. Before that, I worked with my dad in his screen printing business, and I've been printing shirts a long time, almost 30 years now."
Oh, I think we just found a new Gen X grown-up vendor. A
t-shirt supplier. Yeah.
Right?
Get one of those, Mike C. We need to get some shirts printed up.
That's right. Mike C., hit us up. I'll respond back. We'll work out some deals.
He went on his email to talk about when he's working on his screen printing business. He says, "My middle daughter's 18, and she and I have conversations that in general leave anybody listening laughing like idiots. And for a long time now, I've been considering doing a podcast. Okay. I want to explore the differences between us because I know we really aren't that different, but they've had an entirely different world they grew up in."
Yeah, good point. True.
We really saw a slice of that when we did the horror debates where, you know, you had your daughter on and I had my daughter on, you know, just how you grew up and what you thought of, you know, media and games and that kind of thing. Yeah. Very different. That would be a cool show to hear. He says, for example, if I go to GameStop, I said I wanted a classic controller. He gave me this thing with a ton of buttons. And I said, "No, black joystick, red button. That's what I need." Yep. We've adapted a little to upscale controllers, but like on the VCS, as questionable as the VCS is, that classic controller is awesome.
You know, I was talking about that Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy in the last episode. My left hand was hurting tremendously from using that Xbox controller. I would have given anything for an Atari VCS one stick, one button controller.
Boop. Yeah. The graphics aren't as good, but it sure is easier on the wrist. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Mike, if you ever get that show up and off the road, we talked a little bit offline via email. I invited him over to Discord to join us. If you get that off the ground, I would love to hear the discussions between you and your 18-year-old daughter. Yeah. That'd be cool to hear. He wraps it up by saying, "Appreciate the show, Mike C." Awesome. Thank you, Mike.
Very nice.
We appreciate your writing in. We love it anytime the fourth listener writes in. Take the time out of your day to do so. It's easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single one. And most of them, like Mike C's, eventually make it to the show. All right. Now, with that good business behind us, it is time to get into our top 10 1980s movie soundtracks right after this.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. they were able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know.
Gold is an outstanding three-record collection of 33 original hits by the original artists. Mellow Gold is a must for your record collection. Three-record set, only $8.98. Two stereo 8-track or cassette tapes, only $10.98. Here's how to order.
To order COD, call 313-939-3170. Operators on duty now. Or save the $2 COD charge by sending check or money order to Mellow Gold, Box 466, Southfield, Michigan. That's Mellow Gold, Box 466, Southfield, Michigan.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Oh, sorry.
Is this the game segment?
Wrong segment, wrong intro. So, we are talking all about soundtracks from 80s films. And when we often do these combined top 10 lists, we have a set of rules that we follow and we strictly adhere to. So I'm here now to explain those rules for anybody who hasn't heard them in the past.
No matter how many fights they create, we stick by
them. We stick by the rules. Yes, we do.
That's right. So I compile a list for us of a whole bunch of different topics. In this case, it's 80s movie soundtracks. Once I have that list combined, I have a spreadsheet. Everybody knows I love spreadsheets. And on that spreadsheet, we are each allocated 60 points to spend in whatever fashion we want. We can put 10 points over there, 1 point over here. In this particular one, I also wanted to make sure that we at least voted on 10 different items on the list. Mm-hmm. So I made sure that was one of the new rules we added. You must vote on at least 10 separate individual items. You can't front load and put 60 points on one thing.
I'm done with it.
The other rule is that in order for the soundtrack, in this case, to make the list, all three Gen X grown-up people have to give it at least 1 point in order for it to make the combined list, because it's our list. It's not just John and Moe's list, or just George's list, or just George and Moe's list, or whatever combinations you want to derive thereof. It's our list. So all three of us have to agree that an item belongs on the list in some fashion. With that said, John, I would love for you to get into the top 10 with the number 10 pick, and do not forget to tell us how many points each one of us gave us.
Oh, happily. Yeah. So our number 10 pick, this is one that in hindsight, I fought for it to make the list, but I'm not convinced it's the best soundtrack, which is why it's toward the bottom, number 10. Mm-hmm. So this is the Back to the Future soundtrack, the original from 1985. Right. I awarded this 3 points. Mo gave this 3 points. And George checked in with a single point. He also agreed that it barely belonged on the list. And, you know, so the reason this made the list, or I should say why it didn't make the list higher, Back to the Future, amazing, iconic 80s
great film.
Yes. Fantastic. We just talked about the DeLorean. We did a backtrack about cars from films in the 80s. It's not a hit song kind of soundtrack. Their soundtrack is more background music and dramatic music and the kind of the orchestral stuff. It does have two fantastic hit songs by Huey Lewis and the News, of course. It has Back in Time and The Power of Love, probably the biggest hit off of that soundtrack. Get a little bit of juice off of Johnny B. Goode being on there, but it's kind of not really. It's just, it was featured in the movie, so they put the whole song on the soundtrack. But I mean, I think Back to the Future, because of its pedigree, deserves to be on our list at number 10. At least we were to convince George to give us at least 1 point to make the list, right?
Yeah, I agreed that it deserved to be on the list. That's why I gave it the 1 point. I was saving my points for something that'll be a little bit further up the list, as we'll get to it later on in the podcast. But I think you're right, John. Two Huey Lewis songs. I'm a big Huey Lewis fan. That's really the only thing I can remember, along with the Johnny B. Goode song. And the Johnny B. Goode song, it's associated with that one iconic scene that gets relived in the second film. The soundtrack itself overall, other than three songs, I wouldn't have wanted to pay K-Tel's $19.95 for it.
Yeah, you're right.
Two records or three compact discs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worthwhile. I mean, so Mo, you put some points on it. You feel the same way about it?
Yeah,
it's just, I mean, it's good, but not.
It was just like, it was such a good movie. I had to give points, kind of thing. You know, it's,
yeah, it's fair.
And they said there were a few songs on it that I thought were pretty good. I think the Hughes Lewis songs, like you said, were huge
or so good. So they deserve it.
I said, I'm not unhappy with where it landed. I'm happy it made the list.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so that's our number 10, Back to the Future. George, why don't you move us along into number 9?
Number 9 from 1987, Dirty Dancing, a film rife with music.
Nobody puts Baby in the Corner.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody puts Baby in the Corner. They do put her in the number 9 slot in this podcast.
That's just off the corner.
That's not just quite off the corner, right?
Yeah.
John gave this 5 points, a solid effort, but obviously not one of his top picks. Mo gave it 2 points, which was very kind of him. I also gave it 5 points because this film happens to be my mother's favorite film of all time. I've given her the pop vinyls, which were not cheap, of those two characters. The soundtrack itself, it's all classic 50s, 60s music. And it's good, but it's the reason why I thought this deserved to be on the list is because it's one of those where the soundtrack and the dirty dancing, as the title of the movie implies, really kind of drove the story forward. I'm not saying any of the songs were super awesome. I'm just saying that they were pivotal to this particular film.
Well, I would even debate that the songs were not pivotal to the film. I mean, I look back and like I've Had a Time of My Life is on there and Be My Baby and Hungry Eyes. That was a huge hit coming off of this.
That's true.
Was that Eric Carmen, I guess?
Yeah.
Yep, Eric Carmen.
And then several others, you know, Still of the Night and some other songs on there. But I thought it really deserved it. It might have, I think we might have, when we debated, said it might have been a little higher, but I was comfortable with it. At least it made the list because Dirty Dancing, again, like Back to the Future, such a good film, and a great soundtrack made it even a better film in my eyes.
Yeah, it's one of those that maybe it could have made it higher, but we have so many other films on this list.
They can't all be in the top three.
They can't all be in the top three, exactly. So I think number 9 is fair. I could have seen it at maybe number 7 at the top, but that's pushing it, I think. So number 9 feels safe to me. Mo, what do you think is right for the number 8 pick on our list?
Well, what came in at number 8 was Footloose, 1984.
That's all about music. Wow.
So here's the point breakdown. So John, you gave it 5. I gave it 7. And George begrudgingly gave it 1. So.
Again, sandbagging points for later in the list.
But that's okay. My thing for why this should be on this list was, one, there weren't like a huge number of songs, but they did have 3 songs that came out that are pretty good hits off this. It had a Kenny Loggins song, which automatically should get on the list.
I think by law, you have to have a Kenny Loggins song on an 80s soundtrack.
Right, 1980s film has to have Kenny Loggins involved in it somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And also, the reason why I thought this was on the list, and I'm not uncomfortable with it being 8th, is that it has songs that were very contemporary for the 80s, right? A lot of the music, like Dirty Dancing had some 50s songs in it, and you know, even Back to the Future had like some throwback music. Where Footloose, all the songs were new songs, basically, at the time.
Yeah, it's a good point, Mo. I mean, the songs were all contemporary at the time. And, of course, it's one of the most popular songs of movie cinema history, Footloose. I mean, you know, the title track. It's so much so that they even tried to do that horrible remake a few years ago.
Let's have a talk.
Did they really? Oh, I totally missed that. Or maybe I blocked it from memory. Are you serious?
You definitely deserve to miss it.
Yeah,
it
just don't bother. Oh. Don't bother.
Okay, so don't seek it out.
Do not.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. I mean, the first movie, anyway, yeah, I agree.
I mean, you can't talk about the movie because that's not what this top 10 is about, but that movie and that song are synonymous with each other, so I'm fine with this being number 8. It doesn't need to be higher, but
they go together so well.
Yeah.
Well, and the other big hit off of there that maybe was for me as good as, or maybe better than Footloose, was Let's Hear It for the Boy.
Oh yeah.
That was a track off of there that was making, I don't know where it hit on the top 40 list. We didn't do that kind of research, but it's you heard it all of the time, both of those. When that film was out and for a long time after, it's not like it was only out to promote the film. That was a solid song off that soundtrack.
It was a good song.
It had a life of its own.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That will get us started. We've got our first 3 picks, 10, 9, 8. We get back from the break. We're moving on into number 7. Stick around.
Coming up on 5-Minute News. I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
ABBA's greatest hits. Mamma Mia, here I go again. 15 unforgettable tracks on one great album. So when you hear me, darling, can't you hear me? S-O-A. Including their very latest chartbuster, Fernando. From Waterloo to Fernando, ABBA's greatest hits out now.
So coming in at number 7, and this is probably my biggest one I have an issue with, because I think this one should be higher.
Oh, here we go.
This one in particular. Anyway, so let me just get into it. It is,
he's not going to let it go.
If you're not sure what Mo is talking about, all you have to do is become a Patreon member, and you'll get to hear the argument.
You'll hear his
debate.
Frustration. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy it got on the list. I'm happy about that. The movie is The Big Chill, 1983.
Okay.
I gave it 10 points because I really like this movie. John gave it 3, and George begrudgingly again gave it 1.
It's becoming a theme.
Yeah.
He's just barely giving out points. Here's your 1 point.
And to me, I think it's coming at number 7. I'm okay with it being there, but it should have been higher because every single song on this is a great song. Every single
George
song
groaning.
On this one is a great song. I mean, come on. I mean, you got Smokey Robinson, Three Dogs. I mean, it's all Motown, just amazing music. Aretha Franklin. And plus the fact that the music so fit into the theme of the movie as well. It was a great compliment to the movie. I'm okay with it being 7, but I'm hoping some of our 4th listeners will write in and back me up on this, that it should have been higher.
You want them to be angry with you. Yeah, okay. You know, you championed this one. We had not put any points on this when we started our discussion. And because I'm not a huge fan of The Big Chill, I'm sorry, I saw it once way back in the day. I didn't think about the soundtrack. So in prepping for the show, I went back and listened to, you know, I'll say, hey, you know, Spotify, play me the soundtrack of Big Chill. And I'm starting to come around to you. This is the kind of thing, this is like a Pulp Fiction soundtrack. It's like, it's not contemporary music, but they took all these great songs, you know, the Whiter Shade of Pale and you know, What's Going On, Marvin Gaye is in there, Bad Moon Rising by CCR, which is, that's a big part. I mean, so many though, it must be a 20 or so songs on there. And probably half of them are songs that I would voluntarily listen to and not skip if they came up in rotation. So I'm coming away around to your way of thinking a little bit. It probably deserved maybe a little bit more.
Okay, I'll take it.
So I gave it a little whinge when Mo said every single song. I'm looking only at the Spotify list that John linked for us so that we could do our research. And while I love Three Dog Night, Joy to the World, Tracks of My Tears, Smokey Robinson, My Girl, The Temptations, there are some songs that I've never heard or don't
fair
recognize.
Enough.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd say, shoot, that Spotify list is not the original soundtrack songs. There weren't that many.
Okay, because I was going to say, when you said every song on the soundtrack, I'm looking at this list, I'm like, nope, don't like that song, never heard of that song. So, okay, maybe if I see the list, and I apologize to the listeners for not doing the research properly, but I didn't ever see the movie, so it's hard for me to associate emotion with the soundtrack. I think that's one of the things that makes these lists great, because I had no clue that it had great songs on it. Would have never had Mo not fought so hard for it to be on the list.
Okay.
Well, it did make it.
Yes,
so
it did.
Good for The Big Chill. And again, I'm coming around. It's some pretty darn good music on there.
Okay.
So, decent
so that's
pick.
Number 7. So what's number 6, John?
Wow. He sounds so defeated.
He's done with the rest of
it
the list.
Made the list.
Let's do the rest of them now. Let's
okay.
go.
All right. This is one that I had to fight for. And I think I came around to convincing people to put some points on. I even convinced George to put points on it, more than 1 point.
Yeah.
So
what the hell?
That's the new gold standard.
That's
now.
The goal.
If George puts more than 1 point on it, you've won your argument.
You've really swayed him. Yeah. So we're talking about the number 6 spot we chose was Stand By Me from 1986.
Mm.
Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand.
This is the film adaptation of the Stephen King short story about finding a body. Yep. So the point layout, again, I was a champion of this. I put 11 points on it. George put 3 points on it. Very yeah. generous of you with your track record of 1 point gimmies.
Wow, now I got a track record.
Well, you kind of
did. My goodness.
And then Mo George me with his 1 point. Yep. So that's...
I did George you on this one.
We'll get around to why Mo disrespected Stand By Me, but first, this I love this film. So I know we're not talking about the film per se, but it's such a great slice of what it is. Even though it's talking about growing up in the 50s, it was like my childhood growing up in the 80s, you know, wandering in the woods and doing stuff. And so I have a warm spot for it. And the songs in it, again, not contemporary, all stuff, you know, Lollipop and Yakety Yak, Great Balls of Fire, and of course, Stand By Me from Benny King. They're older songs, but they're timeless songs. And this is not a, you know, orchestral soundtrack. This film was, from nose to tail, was packed with these great kind of like late 50s, early 60s hits. And so I fought for it to make it higher in the list. So I made it about halfway up, which I'm pretty happy with. So I want to hear what George thinks about it. But first, Mo, what's up with disrespecting my thing with just 1 point? Come on.
Okay. So first off, Stand By Me, amazing movie.
Okay.
Love the movie. And I like the soundtrack. I did like the soundtrack. The thing that got me is like a lot of pop 50s songs, which you will not hear anywhere except like on these soundtracks, I don't think. Like they won't come up again. Well, and so
if you ask for them.
Well, there you go. Problem solved. Yeah. So, I mean, like some of like, I mean, there are cute songs like, you know, Lollipop and Yakety Yak, which are cute songs, but it just didn't hit me as hard, I guess, as some of the other soundtracks.
All right. That's Mo's shitty opinion. George,
yes,
what's
mine? Yeah.
All right, so for me, this is the opposite of The Big Chill. This is a movie that I grew up loving. I enjoyed every single moment of this film, all the actors, the directing, Stephen King, you know, original story.
Mm-hmm.
Love Stand By Me. I think that I am conflating my love of the movie a little bit with the soundtrack, where I did the opposite of The Big Chill. Never saw The Big Chill, don't care about The Big Chill. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really care about soundtrack, although I admit now, tons of great songs on that soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stand By Me, probably of any of the films that I wouldn't give a lot of points to, this one is one I remember those songs that you mentioned, John, more than some of the others. So the Lollipop mm-hmm. and the Stand By Me,
oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Great Balls of Fire. I remember those in the movie itself.
Agreed. They're connected to the scenes, aren't they?
Yes.
Oh, yes, they are. Absolutely.
And I think that that's why I'm willing to give it a few more points than I did on some of the other ones. I don't know if it's the best soundtrack of all time or just mediocre. I'm not going to go one way or the other on that. I love the songs in the movie. I love the songs that they chose, which I think is a big part of what makes a good movie soundtrack a good mm-hmm. movie soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I thought they were all appropriate to the story that was being told.
Agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And like I said, I just didn't think it was that higher, but they really, I mean, I kind of ragged on, oh, they picked pop songs that weren't that amazing. But if you were a young kid in the 50s, that's what you listened to. So it totally yeah. fit the story and it fit.
It does. Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
in it. So
it
again, yeah. So I'm not arguing that point at all. I just think as far as soundtracks,
all right. I just didn't plead my case hard enough for Mo. It swayed George. not so much Mo. That's cool. I'm happy with where it landed though. All right. So we're almost at the halfway point. George, why don't you share with us what the pick was for number five?
Absolutely. 1984, Eddie Murphy, whatever his laugh is, Beverly Hills Cop, his breakout film, really, after Trading Places. This was a star for him. John gave this 3 little points. Okay. Well, Mo gave it 7, the top of all of us. Yeah. I gave it 6. This is a great soundtrack. To Mo's point, this is contemporary music at its finest mm-hmm. in 1984. You've got songs like New Attitude from Patti LaBelle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You've got stuff like Neutron Dance from the Pointer Sisters. The Heat Is On from Glenn Frey, one of my favorite singers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even Patti LaBelle did a second song, Stir It Up, which was really fun. The Axel F. theme.
Now that is
by
huge,
Harold
Faltermeyer. Like, as soon as I hear Beverly Hills Cop, I'm thinking that instrumental, right?
Yep. That was the first instrumental I ever learned how to play on my Commodore 64 with the little piano, you know, thing.
Yeah, it wasn't tough to play, right? And it was fun to play because you're like, hey, I'm doing the song. Yeah.
Right.
In my defense, I only gave it a couple of points because I had to work so hard to make up for Moe's disrespect of Stand By Me. That's why I had to shift those around. So. Yeah, but I agree. Beverly Hills Cop. And that's another one where the songs you can see connected to the scenes. And you hear that Axel F theme. And I just see Axel Foley, you know, snooping around and doing the stuff that he did in the film. You know, that's his walking music. It's like entrance music. It's
definitely
connected.
Every song on that soundtrack makes me feel like I'm in 1980s California. And that's the whole point of the soundtrack for that film, I would think.
That's what it's for.
Yeah, absolutely. One, I love the movie. It was really hilarious. I don't know. I haven't watched it recently. I don't know if it stands up, but
it's still good.
Is it? Okay. But, but my memories of it as being really awesome. And every song that came off it, I remember hearing them on the radio. They were being played everywhere outside the movie. So that's the reason why I think it lands on 5, and I'm very happy with that.
I would say most of the songs from the soundtrack definitely hit the Billboard Hot 100, if not the top 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would take that bet. That sounds like pretty good odds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're that good. All right. We have made it past the halfway point, but stick around. When we get back, we are going through the top half of our top 10 list. Stick around.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
Sessions presents The Beach Boys. This fantastic Beach Boys collection is an incredible value for only $9.98. Stereo 8-track or cassette tape, only $10.98. Here's how to order now.
To order COD, call 1-800-323-1660 or save the $3 COD charge by sending check or money order to Beach Boys, Post Office Box 5000, Department S, Chicago, Illinois.
Unlike last time, I am totally happy where this next one hits. So,
yep, me too.
At number 4, Top Gun 1986. I mean, nice. Come on. Another Kenny Loggins.
More Kenny Loggins, right? Mandatory.
But I was like you said, I think contractually he had to be in every movie.
Yeah, oh, sure. Pretty much.
Here's how the points flew out. So John gave it a massive 9 points.
You're welcome.
Yep. Yep. I gave it 5 points. And George gave it more than begrudgingly one. He gave it 3.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, John kept archering me to death on this damn argument the whole time.
Right. I kept playing the Kenny Loggins
card.
You have to. Danger Zone, damn it. Oh, God.
Once you have Kenny Loggins, you got to be on the list, right? I mean, that's pretty much you have to be, right? But yeah, I mean, a lot of great songs came out of it. The songs put you into the mood of the movie really well, right? I mean, Kenny Loggins, you just picture jets flying.
Oh, yeah.
And even with the Top Gun, the second movie, Maverick, coming out, the preview, I know they start playing some of the music from the original Top Gun, and it took me right
there.
It
just snaps you back.
Yep, snapped me back.
Mm. Yeah, you know, when I look at this soundtrack and I listen to it, and I listened to it in the car the other day driving back from the theater, and each song, they're not all the same song, right? You have these love ballads like Heaven in Your Eyes and Take My Breath Away, and then you have like the driving songs like Danger Zone you talked about, and all these songs that I can see, again, you've talked about already, George, connected to these scenes of the film. You know, playing with the boys, which I think was from the volleyball scene, I believe.
I'm
listening to it, and I'm like, they're playing volleyball, right? That's got to be the volleyball scene, because it's connected. And more than just being great songs, it's that thing where it elevates the film and makes it more memorable. You listen to the soundtrack, and you're right back in the theater, and you're seeing it again. And again, kind of snap back to the 80s, feeling it again the way you felt when you heard it and saw it. It's great.
Yeah, it's a tremendous film. It's definitely a really fun, upbeat soundtrack, and that's what you need for that movie, right? I mean, you need the danger zone stuff in there. You need the playing with the boys. I completely understand why this is as high on the list as it is. I know I only gave it 3 points. You're about to find out why.
Oh,
I
was only able to give it 3 points. Right.
You're about to find that out very shortly. I would have probably given this thing at least 6 or 7 points had I not had to do what I needed to do soon.
Well, and I know every time Danger Zone comes on the radio, my accelerator foot gets a little bit heavier. It definitely, it's I'm like, oh yeah, we're passing people, passing lane.
The cop pulls him over. John's like, listen to the song.
Like, hey, Kenny Loggins, or like Mulong, carry on, sir. Right, no problem. Sir. Just a warning. I get it.
If he's Gen X.
You're right, yeah. If he's millennial, he writes me a ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, George, we are ready to find out where you loaded all those points. Let's talk about our number three on our list.
Number three, 1986, one of my favorite sound, or actually, I'm going to just lay it out there. It is my favorite soundtrack of all time. I know that it can't be number one on any soundtrack list because the movie is not as recognizable as the ones that we're going to talk about later, but Color of Money is my jam. Being a guy who grew up in pool halls and seedy bars and all that kind of stuff, this is what was on every single jukebox of my youth. My father owned a pool hall. We went to bars all the time because, you know, it was the 70s and that's what you did with your kid. But I want to talk about the points. John, 3 points. Thank you very much for those 3 points.
You're welcome.
Mo argued and twisted and finally gave me a point so I could get this thing on the list.
Yeah.
I gave this thing 18 points and I was trying to give it like 25, but I had to give some points
away.
You
had way more points on it, right? We finally, our movie's on the list also, so we got you to pull a few off of it. Yeah. This was probably the most contentious one on the list, not because we don't like the soundtrack, but I think you said it's not as iconic as the other 80s films. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a niche film, I think you could argue.
Absolutely.
It's a pool hall kind of playing film. It's not the blockbuster, you know, kind of big opening weekend kind of film. It's more of a slow burn. And Mo, I want to speak for you, but so like these others, I started listening to this one more and more. And I'm glad it made the list. And I even said in our debates that it deserves to be on the list on the merits of the lineage of the film, the artists on it, and your passion for it. But even after listening to it, I didn't find a lot of standalone songs for me that stood on their own. Outside of like Werewolves of London, fantastic song.
Mm-hmm. Warren Zevon.
Yeah.
Yep. So John, yeah, I'm kind of with you on this. I mean, it was a good soundtrack. I'm not arguing that, but I can think of a couple songs on it. The Eric Clapton song, you know, It's in the Way That You Use It. Awesome song. Mm-hmm. You know, I really like this one, but you know, I just really love that song. But as far as an album, I personally think this is very high on the list.
It's completely up to taste. And I'm not saying that you guys don't have taste, which you don't, but that's okay.
That's fair. I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm saying that it's subjective. And any of these music lists especially are likely going to have some subjectivity to them. This is a soundtrack that is geared toward a specific audience. If you were a bar person or a pool hall person or a blues fan, this is your soundtrack. This is not the pop stuff. This is not hard rock.
Fair.
This is not heavy metal. None of that is going to appeal to you. And I get that a lot of these songs would not make the Hot 100 on Billboard would not make the top 40 pop charts. That's not what I'm arguing or debating about. I'm talking about if you want to feel like you're in a goddamn pool hall, you're going to listen to Don Henley sings Who Owns This Place, or you're going to listen to Willie Dixon saying Don't Tell Me Nothing. These blues songs are so beautifully put together. And I want to point out, Mo, you mentioned Eric Clapton. He's the one that chose most of the songs with Martin Scorsese to be in this film. You know, Martin Scorsese is legendary for picking the songs in his head before he starts editing. He and Eric Clapton combined on this in order to come up with the songs in the film. I can to
Doesn't
this
change
day,
my opinion, but okay. Well,
you can have your opinion and be wrong. That's fine.
He's established we have no taste, Mo. It's okay.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But it's, for me, this is, of all the soundtracks we have on the list, this and one other one are the only two I go back to listen to just because. I don't care about watching the movie, but I'll go back and listen to this soundtrack.
The soundtrack is stronger than the film for you, even.
Well, the film is great. I love The Hustler, the original, the precursor to this film. Color Money is a fun film. It's Tom Cruise and Paul Newman, neither at their best, but both very enjoyable. But the soundtrack in this, you hear Willie Dixon sing Don't Be Telling Me Nothing, that just hits me right in all three of my testicles. I'm telling you, this is a good damn soundtrack.
All right.
I mean, like I said, I gave it a point because honestly, George, because you were so passionate about it, I said, okay, let's make sure he gets on the list.
Right. Yep. It's fair. Yeah. And I think he threatened not to be here if it didn't make the list.
That might have come up in conversation. If this didn't make the list. Did.
Yeah. Well, you got to cave to the bully, of course. Why not?
Absolutely.
Right? Yep.
Well, John, let's move on for number three. It's time to hit number two. I got a feeling you have a little bit of a connection to this soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. This could have been my number one, but I acknowledge the number one probably is right, and this is okay at number two. This is the Blues Brothers soundtrack from 1980. Yeah.
She complicated.
Before I get into how important this is to me, let me run through the points. So Mo gave this 8 points. Thank you, Mo.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it 15 points. There's a lump of my points. George, 1 point. Thanks for nothing. No, it's more than nothing. You got it there. It's actually something, right?
I had to. I was okay with this film being ahead of mine, but I did need to make sure that my film and my soundtrack made it into the top five.
Yeah,
and I really wanted to be in the top three. So I would have given Blues Brothers, truthfully, the soundtrack. I like it better than the movie. I'm not a big fan of the film, as you know.
Okay, yeah.
But the soundtrack, I probably would have given this 8 points, just like Mo did, if I didn't have to spend all my points for Color Money.
There was certainly some horse trading going on.
Oh, sure.
We're talking about Jim Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. Mm-hmm. We did a whole backtrack about the history of the Blues Brothers. And a huge part of that backtrack we did, what did we talk about? The amazing musical acts, so they're integral to that film.
Yeah. They are.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are the Blues Brothers themselves, which is this band of amazing musicians and those two actors. But, I mean, we had Aretha Franklin, right? We had Jailhouse Rock. We had the theme from Rawhide. It's a huge... Talk about songs that mesh in with the film and bring you back to it. You hear Think and you see the scene in the diner with Aretha Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
Talking to Murphy about Don't Go With These Guys Back on the Road. And it's just so powerful for me. And I love the film. Love the soundtrack. It's one of those, like you said, George, I'll just listen to the soundtrack. Love the film. I can enjoy them both equally on their own. They don't require one another to be great on their own.
John, I have a question. So you've been providing us with these Spotify lists. We've talked about it many a times. We're not sponsored by Spotify.
No, not at all.
Their lists seem to be bullshit so far. But anyway, there's a song that I particularly love from the Blues Brothers. I didn't see it on the Spotify list. Johnny Lee Hooker's Boom Boom.
Oh, yeah.
Was it not on the soundtrack?
So it depends. There are remixes and remasters and things like that. It's another great song that if you have the day of MP3s, you can absolutely put it on the soundtrack yourself. It wasn't on the official soundtrack because I don't know if you know that Johnny the Hooker song almost didn't make the movie. So
what?
Yeah, it almost did not make the movie. They wanted something else in there. It was a good decision to put it in, obviously, but it didn't make the original soundtrack.
It does feel like an aside scene to the film.
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of makes sense.
But an awesome one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mo, you gave this film much more respect than George did with his 1 point. But so why for you was this worth so many points in the vote?
Well, one is, I mean, the movie itself. I mean, talk about a movie and music going hand in hand. That's this one.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more so than, except for maybe our number one. The music is definitely a big part of the whole film. And just the sheer talent of people on it. And the fact that I'm actually shocked that they really get these people on these, like, oh my God, they got Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin. I'm like, what the hell? You know? But no, I mean, I just love the soundtrack and the movie. So I think it definitely deserves, it place it second. I think that's a great spot for it.
It's a solid number two.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love that it's at number two. I'm happy with that. No matter how excited I am about it at number two, though, the number one is still coming up. Plus our honorable mentions that didn't make the list, but we each thought deserved a little shout out. That and more right after the break. Stick around.
Back to that same old place, my sweet home, Chicago.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
16 candles.
Oh, we gotta say goodbye.
No one ever forgets prom night because of all the great memories. Well, Sessions brings back all those great memories with a new four-record album called Senior Prom. This incredible four-record and three-cassette treasury is yours for only $19.95. Two compact discs, only $24.95. Here's how to order.
Credit card and COD customers call toll-free 1-800-628-1100 or save COD fees by sending $19.95 for four records or three cassettes or $24.95 for two compact discs, plus $3 shipping and handling to Senior Prom, 18055 James Cousins, Department B, Detroit, Michigan. Sorry, no Canadian CODs.
We are almost to the Gen X grown-up number one pick for 1980s movie soundtracks. Before we get to the number one pick, though, we also had an opportunity to choose each of us an honorable mention, right?
We did. Yeah. We have movie soundtracks that we all liked, but they didn't get votes from all three people.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have always said is that if you really like a film, didn't get voted on by all three people, it needs to be an honorable mention. But I'm not going to give you an honorable mention just because you put 1 point. It has to be the one that you gave the most points to that was not also voted on by the other two members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's your honorable mention.
Yep.
John, I'm really happy for what your honorable mention is because I like this soundtrack too, or at least a couple of songs from
it. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. So mine, I waited. I put 4 or 5 points on it. I really wanted it to make the list. This is the 1982 soundtrack to Rocky III. Now, listening back to this, again, I mentioned I re-listened to many of these soundtracks, all of them, in fact, to kind of make sure they're fresh in my mind what it is I love about them. The reality is, you could argue that Rocky III suffers from the same syndrome as the Back to the Future soundtrack. It has a couple of great hits on it, and then a bunch of other stuff, you know? But the couple of hits that are on it, and we're talking about Survivor's Eye of the Tiger, mm-hmm. right?
That's the big song. That's the one yeah, that
everybody's
going to...
Yeah, that's the huge one. And then, Gonna Fly Now, right? The Rocky kind of the big Gonna Fly Now. So just ingrained for me in the 80s. I like the Rocky films. I'm not a huge Rocky fan, but Rocky III was a great film in its own right. The series is iconic in the 80s. And those couple of songs on this soundtrack stand out to me. And they're the kind of thing, again, you hear it anywhere and boom, I see Rocky. I see the ring. I see the fights. I see the blood, sweat, and tears of it. So that's what it jumped out at me as being something worthy of mention.
Okay. You know, for me, John, there's one other song on the soundtrack that takes me back to the movie, and that's Take You Back by Frank Stallone. A lot of people keep forgetting that Sylvester Stallone has his brother in all the different films of the Rocky eras, and he does a lot of music and singing in those films.
Mm-hmm.
And Take You Back, for whatever reason, it just has this special place because they put it in the movie at a place where Rocky's kind of at his lowest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mickey's dead. He's lost his belt. He's back in the old neighborhood, and the guys are on the corner. Take me back. Do-do-do-do. Take you back. You know, it's just a really iconic part of that film, and it's one of my favorite songs from that movie.
It's a motivational soundtrack. You hear that music. Even the songs that aren't hits that I talked about that aren't, like, memorable necessarily, you're humming them. You listen to that, and you're like, oh, yeah, Rocky, you know, going to claw back from the bottom and get back to the top. That's why I wanted Rocky III to be my honorable mention. George, what about you? What was your honorable mention that didn't make our top 10 list?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of shocked it didn't like make a number 10 spot. I would have thought it would have been 10. I can see 11. But Flash Gordon from 1980, the Queen soundtrack.
Queen.
They did the entire soundtrack. Everybody knows one song from the soundtrack. I contend that it's really just a one song soundtrack. Really, it's just, it's looped for an hour and a half throughout the whole film, it seems. But that's the Flash Gordon theme song with, flavor of the universe, whatever, you know. But I love that.
That's a very good rendition, George.
Yeah, nice. I love that soundtrack. Of course, that movie is so popcorn fair, 80s pop culture, whatever you want to assign to it. I just enjoy that song. I enjoy that soundtrack. And you know, I love the movie. So I said, let me give it a point so it makes honorable mention.
Yeah, I think it's worthy to be here. Absolutely. It's another one. Iconic film, without a doubt. Cheesy, without a doubt.
All the way cheesy.
But I mean, you got Birdman, you got Timothy Dalton fighting on a tilt, and you got the Rock with the whatever, all this craziness. But you hear that theme from Queen. First, it sounds like Queen all the way through. Mm-hmm. And you just hear that, and as you said, it transports you back. So I think it's a great follow-up pick. Yeah.
All right. Well deserved. So John and I have both given our honorable mentions. Mo, what have you got right before we get to number one?
Okay. So my honorable mention is, you know, it's one I think should have been on the list, but I'm okay. You know, I get it. It's the soundtrack to Risky Business.
Mo's got a lot of grief in this episode.
I do, actually.
That passive-aggressive shade he's throwing at John and I here.
I'm definitely doing some passive-aggressive here. Risky Business, I mean, had some like old time rock and roll, Bob Seger. Of course, everyone knows that whole scene, mm-hmm. you know, in the house. Hungry Heart, Bruce Springsteen, Talking Heads, Swamp. I mean, DMSR, Prince was on it. But the reason why I put this on the list specifically is because I actually liked the instrumentals on this song a lot by Tangerine Dream. You know, remember back in the day?
Oh, okay. So not so much the hits, more the other stuff.
Because
okay.
The other stuff, actually, I probably had in other albums already at that point.
Mm. Right.
Love on a Real Train, you know, Risky Business. I mean, all that stuff is just, I really, really liked instrumentals. And those are some of my favorites. So that's why I'm like, okay, I didn't make the list, but I definitely made sure it made my honorable mention.
That's fair.
Fair enough.
All right, good. Three decent picks, all respectable for our honorable mentions, but none of those made the top 10 list. Not at 10, 9, 8, all the way up. But we finally got to our number one pick. What we, as a group, have determined is the number one 80s movie soundtrack. George, would you like to do the honors, sir?
I would be happy to, because I'm going to go through the points first before I announce what the soundtrack
awesome.
Is.
Oh, my goodness.
Because there's going to be one person in particular out there in our listening audience who is absolutely going to love me more than they love John after I give out these point totals.
I think they probably already love you more than me, so it's okay.
They might. Mo gave this a very solid 8 points, mm-hmm. not his top point getter, but very solid, respectable point total. I gave this just 1 point below my Color of Money. That shows you how much I think about this film and its soundtrack. I gave it 17.
True.
Huge Gen X grown-up points.
Out of 60.
Man. John decided out of 60 total possible points, it was really worth one point.
Oh, I really Georged this one up, didn't I?
This is from 1984. It's the top on almost every single list I looked up in preparation for this podcast. Purple Rain from Purple the master Rain. Himself, Prince. I would argue, before we even get started, that this is probably considered to be the greatest soundtrack of all-time movie history.
I wouldn't argue against that one.
Not a lot of debate there. There's not a lot of debate.
No.
Yep.
I'll now allow time for John to explain himself to our
to defend
Purple
himself.
Rain nicknamed Patreon Marcus, who just recently started giving him more money, mm-hmm. and John rewarded him by disrespecting
Purple Rain. No, so here's the thing. I have no ill will against, don't laugh at me. I have no ill will against Purple Rain. In reality, I'm not sure I've seen the whole film.
It's not about the film.
No, but again, right? So as a soundtrack, I think of Purple Rain as an amazing album on its own. Mm-hmm. I didn't connect it as being a soundtrack. That's no excuse. I'm not saying
that should make you give it more points than
you
it transcended
guys,
soundtrack status.
You guys did all the heavy lifting. Look, George, if you had given more than 1 point to my other picks, I could have shared more to Purple Rain.
Okay, that's fair.
But seriously, in all seriousness, listening to these soundtracks and in the last few days as I'm preparing for the podcast, holy shit, what a great soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
I do feel a little bad about only putting 1 point on it. If I had put 1 point on it and it hadn't made number one, I'd be mad at myself. But the fact that it was at number one, it didn't need more of my points. It's just hit after hit.
Yeah.
Just like Prince at his, I mean, when Doves Cry, I Would Die for You.
Yeah.
Let's Go Crazy. Holy crap. It's just loaded with.
Not to mention, it's fantastic. Not just Prince. Morris Day and the Time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Yeah.
Were they so awesome on this soundtrack and in the movie that his character was so pivotal to that film, but the songs that I'm sure Prince wrote, probably, because Prince wrote every goddamn hit song
hit for
from
everybody,
1975
anywhere.
On, it seems
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
I mean, every single song on this one, it brings you back to that film. It brings you back to that history, that time period in the 1980s, dead in the middle of that, right before we got into all that Seattle grunge bullshit, right?
It was Minnesota grunge.
Minnesota, yeah, I mean, but still, I mean, the title alone, Purple Rain, and that, you know, the way they ended the film with him displaying that song that was written by the other band members, mm-hmm. supposedly in the context of the story. Oh, just beautiful. Every part of it beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, this one, I mean, I'm a huge Prince fan since, as a matter of fact, I think the first album I ever bought was a Prince album. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. when the movie came out, bought the album first because the album actually came out for the movie. Went saw the movie the first day it came out. Saw the concert, the Purple Rain concert. Got to see that.
Oh, yeah?
Wow.
Awesome. Amazing. Sheila E. was the warm-up.
Oh, but, right. Sheila E.
Right. When Sheila ease the warm-up. What does that tell you about Prince, right?
Apollonia 6.
But yeah, it's, as you said, this kind of like the Blues Brothers, the music was central to the movie.
The music was the movie.
Right. And so because of that, you know, I think that's why it kind of helped propel it. But also, I said, John, like John was saying earlier, this is the music on this was incredible. So it's hit after hit after hit, you know, deservingly so. So
right.
I'm very happy it made number one. And in John's defense, he was doing some gamesmanship here. That's why he was trying to make sure his stuff got on the list.
George is
not
buying it.
You should not be shaking
it.
Your head about this because right. Mr. 1 point on most of these things.
Hey.
he was already number one. He knew it was secure there. So he kind of used his points intelligently to get other stuff on the list.
Strategy was taking place.
The only thing I think that we need to do before we leave this podcast at this point is to allow time for John to apologize to Marcus and then we can move on.
I owe no apology. Purple Rain is number one and I agree. We got there collectively as a group. So no apologies. I'll say my condolences if that bothered anyone, but no apologies necessary. Just walking the line.
Sorry, not sorry.
Right in the, sorry, not sorry. It is. But yeah, just like our last top 10s, our recent ones, I am very happy and proud with the stack that we got, the order. I feel really good about them. I think we all got to a point with our deliberations, which can be quite lively, as you mentioned, George. If you are a patron, we post that debate after this podcast drops. You can go listen to that. If you're not already a member, you know, maybe consider checking it out because it was a lot. It was about 30 minutes of debate.
Not as bad as some of our debates, though.
No, it was not as contentious.
Not as bad
That's
as
true.
Some.
Not as because contentious.
Because I think some of them, we were like all in total agreement, like Prince. I mean, we're all in agreement on some of these things, right?
Yeah, so, there were no fighting for number one. We were right in there. And we made concessions. It was fairly civil, considering.
Considering.
Oh, what a great list. It is fun reminiscing through these albums. You know, before we leave, you know, I mentioned, you know, over on Patreon, I want to mention and thank Mike P., who just joined us. He is from the UK. He joined us at what is the $3 level, but it's the £2.50 level, actually, for him.
So he got a UK discount. Good for you,
That's
Mike
right.
P.
He got the discount. Right. Yeah. When I saw £2.50, I'm like, what is that, like $80 US? How deflated is our dollar? But no, he jumped in that $3 level. Great guy. Has a little back and forth, and he just loved what we do, and he said we want to support it. So grateful for you to join us with your financial commitment to us. Keeps gas in the tank, keeps us motivated. So grateful to you and everyone who supports us, whether it's over on Patreon or over on YouTube. We sure appreciate each and every dollar that you do. Keep us up and running. That is going to wrap it up for this Backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast. But don't worry, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another Backtrack. And next week with a special edition Rewind, where we take a older Backtrack and go back and relive it. Because Mo is going to be out of the country on his vacation, so he's not here to record. So we definitely hope you will join us for both of those. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know, I appreciate you.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listener, it's you, though. We all appreciate most of all. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Joining me as always is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And Mo is here.
Hey, everybody.
Jamo is here.
I can't say your name. One more time. And Jamo? Sorry. Well, we got a blooper right out of the gate. Fantastic. From soup to nuts, from nose to snout was from nose to snout. What is that?
That's not very far.
That's the same thing.
I was going to say.
You've got questions. We've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.